Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes to Goal podcast. If you're new around here, I'm a late bloomer who discovered the power of goals in his mid-30s. Now I'm on a furious mission to create the accelerators I wish I had in my 20s. I'm your host, John Acup, and today, backed by popular demand, is Corinne Crabtree. Corinne's episode, we'll link that in the show notes, was one of our most popular episodes. And I can't wait for you to hear this follow-up. She is the absolute best. We'll jump right in. But first, a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. If you want to accomplish more goals next year, you should use the calendar I've been using for the last 12 years. That's right. I've used this calendar for 12 years because I love it. It's called the Finish Calendar. And I love it for six very specific reasons. Reason number one, the Finish Calendar is big and beautiful. It's 36 inches tall by 24 inches wide. This thing is massive. I mount mine on foam board and I'll carry it with me to meetings. It's gigantic. It's got enough space for you to plan your weeks. Number two, the Finish Calendar is reversible. You've got a vertical and a wide orientation. So a vertical on one side, flip it over, other side, wide landscape. This thing gives you both options. I personally like the vertical, you do you. It also comes in dry erase or traditional paper. So if you're like, I'm a dry erase person, I want to be able to kind of write things down and change them. Awesome, we've got that too. Number three, it makes time real. When someone says, can you do that project in the next 6 weeks? That time feels fictional to me. 6 weeks from now, I can't even wrap my head around what will be going on then. I need to be able to see the year, not just talk about it. Number four reason that I love it, studies have shown that planning when and where you work on the goals that you do doubles the chances that you'll achieve them. Double. That is amazing. It was a study done in Germany. Number five, the Finish Calendar has 12 encouraging statements on it designed to help slingshot you into a great month of dreaming and doing. I wrote those statements. They're very encouraging. And number six, it's not expensive. It costs less than $30. That's 8 cents a day. Name another productivity tool that you'll ever use every day for 8 cents. An entire year, 8 cents a day. You can't even get coffee. Like right now, if you're like, I don't know, I know a guy, I get coffee for 8 cents. No, you don't. It's very affordable. So over the last 12 years, there's not been a tool that helped me as much as the Finish Calendar. It helps me keep commitments. It helps me finish projects. And I love this thing. You can get your own copy at finishcalendar.com. That's finishcalendar.com. All right, so who is Corinne Crabtree? I'll give you her bio and then I'll tell you a little about her. Corinne Crabtree is one of the leading voices in the weight loss and business industry. She is the host of the top-ranked podcast, Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne Crabtree, which has over 50 million downloads around the world. That is a significant amount, 50 million, come on. She's a featured expert at the Life Coach School and four-time winner of the Top Earner Award. Her No BS weight loss membership business is also ranked number 1,052 in the Inc. 5,000 fastest growing businesses of 2022 and 2023. She's known for her straight talk, Southern sass, and actionable advice. And her personal mission is to help women break generational curses in order to build personal wealth and health. Now, here's my version of that bio. Corinne is amazing. She is fantastic. Every time we get to do a podcast together, because sometimes I'm on hers, sometimes she's on mine, I end up asking her a ton of questions after we stop recording about my own business, about how I'm helping people with their goals. She's so, so smart. She's got thousands and thousands and thousands of women in this community, and she really cares about people. That's what you're going to hear in this episode. We cover a lot of different things. We cover everything from her own personal goals to what she learned to say no to is it easier or harder now to stay in shape than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We talk about different approaches to goals. We talk about some of the lies that trip us up when it comes to perfectionism. This is a really fun, action-packed episode that I think you're going to love. So ladies and gentlemen, Corinne Crabtree. All right, Corinne, thank you so much for joining me again on another podcast episode. You're always a favorite to the listeners, so thanks for being back with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I love coming on your show, and you're a favorite with my people, so.
I love it. Let's go. You need to tell me next time you're doing a local event. I'll pop in. I know it'd be fun.
Yes, I know it'd be super fun. We just had one this weekend.
That's what I heard. I heard buzz. I heard chatter, if you will.
It was a good one.
I heard chatter. So, Corinne, I've got three kind of different topics I'd love to talk about today that I think you're really, really an expert in. One is your personal approach to goals. So So like how you do goals. The second is running a modern business. And the third is, of course, weight loss, staying in shape, kind of that world. So I want to jump in with your personal approach to goals. The first question I have is, do you think that drive is something that can be taught, or is it something you're born with and some people have it and some don't?
I think it can be taught. I don't think it's, I don't think it's born mainly. I watch my son, he has autism. He had no drive. Like, you know, that just like literally was not on his radar. And then as he's gotten older, he's now 21. He sets goals. And it's so funny. He came up with this reward system. You know how, like in your book, you talk about games and like, you know, creating a game. He decided he wanted to become someone who like followed through, who met his calendar, who he's working on independence. Like right now he's at he drove over to Campos Azul to have lunch because it's a little further from our house and he's practicing driving further. So he set up a point system for himself. He gets no prizes. The prize is the points.
I love it. I love it.
But he came up with that himself, and he just, like, I watch him and it's such a good example of someone who didn't have drive, but like he understands the idea he needs to be more motivated. Mm-hmm. He needs something to get him to do things. And so he just kind of kept playing around with stuff until he figured out something that really clicks for him. And his points, he's been doing this for a while now, but almost about 6 or 7 months.
Oh, that's great.
And it's really worked well for him. It's like truly done it. And then I watch it in a lot of my clients. So on both like my business side and my weight loss memberships, I've got two. Some people come in and they don't have a lot of ambition. They don't have a lot of drive. And it's never because they don't have it. For them, it's usually, I'm so afraid I'll fail that they suppress drive. Like that's triggering them to think about failure. So anytime they do anything that looks like driving themselves, it's also triggering the voice on the inside that says, you're probably not going to be able to do this. You've never been able to do it before. So it's not that they didn't have it. It's that they literally, it freaks them out when they're doing it. So they quit doing the things. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say it's because I lack ambition or I lack drive. I think it's something taught. I think when you learn either how to set up a system that wins for you, and then you combine that with understanding why you might be nervous around a goal, why they might scare you and stuff, and you break all that down, I think anybody can have drive and passion.
I've never thought about that, of you have the drive, it's just hidden under layers and layers and layers and layers of fear, or bad information or words from people in authority who told you you weren't good at a thing. Wow, that's a really interesting way to say that. If somebody listening right now is like, ooh, Corinne, this is the first question. You're already stepping on my toes a little bit in the best possible way. If I come into one of your events or one of your groups and I go, I know I have drive. I signed up because I knew I needed to be here. Like I knew it. So at some level, it's deep in the core of who I am, but there's all these layers. What are some of the things you do to help them start to kind of unearth that?
The first thing we do is we just try to notice, number one, like what is the way that I teach my clients. It's like the first thing we have to do is always have to notice what's going on the inside. Like, what are we thinking about? Like, so if you, this is the way my weight loss clients will always say it. They don't ever think about it as drive. They'll say, I know I really want to lose weight, but I'm not doing it. So that must mean I don't really want it. And I'm like, that is BS. Mm-hmm. Like if you join, there's a part of you that really wants it. We need to figure out what is the voice inside that we want to notice first that's telling us that we can't have it and why. Mm-hmm. Why is this going to be hard for you? Why is this probably not going to happen for you? That's the first thing. And then the second step, I call it the four N's. We just teach it inside of our membership, but it's neutralize or normalize what's going on. Most people don't realize that so much of what they call, like we call broken thinking or self-sabotage thinking, negative thinking, always is rooted in something that makes sense. And so when you learn how to figure out what that is, what it does is it makes you feel like, oh, I'm normal versus something must be wrong with me. Mm-hmm. The third step is you go to neutralizing it. So let's say you join my program to lose weight. And the only thing that we're really talking about is, say, you want to lose 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. Most people, their thought about 40 pounds is like, I want to lose 40 pounds, but I've never been able to do it before. So this time probably won't be any different. They're like, that's a fact.
Mm-hmm. No, like, that's an opinion.
Not a fact.
That's an opinion.
Exactly. That is your perception.
Yeah.
Neutralizing says, what's really going on here? 40 pounds to lose. 40 pounds is the goal. That's mm-hmm. it. And when people really start seeing that, like, oh, so much of what I'm doing to myself in the world when it comes to like feeling scared, feeling overwhelmed, feeling confused, feeling whatever, comes from my perception of my facts. Mm-hmm. That right there fixes a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. And then the last part, which I tell my clients all the time, if you never get to this part, if you just normalize things, you feel a little better. If you just neutralize things, you feel mm-hmm. even better. So many people can take action from there. But if you want to actually change how you think, like rewire your programming, you start thinking about, now, given this thing, what is the next best thought I can have about this? So like, if we go to the person who's, I've got 40 pounds to lose, mm-hmm. I've never been able to do it before, it probably won't happen for me. My next best thought might be, all of that's true, but what's also true is that every single person who's lost weight before, they didn't do it either. Like no mm-hmm. one, like if we really think about in weight loss, building a business, whatever mm-hmm. it is, when you say I've never done it before, it's like, yeah, that's true. But every single person who overcomes something, it wasn't until the last time when they won, did they win.
Yeah. Yeah. The other times weren't successful.
Exactly. Like I tell people all the time, I was like, how many times do you think I lost 100 pounds and kept it off? Zero until the last time. Yeah. So, and I had multiple failures. So just allowing someone to like have a little bit better of a thought starts reprogramming the way they think about things. But when you take it through those four ends.
So it was normalize. What was the second one?
First is notice. You got to notice the crap thinking that's going on. Because you can't, you got to know what you're changing.
Yep.
You can't just like change and not know really what you're changing. Mm-hmm. Then it's normalize. Then we neutralize, mm-hmm. and then we do next best thought.
Next best thought. I love that. So, Corinne, for you, so it's so fascinating because when I ask you questions like this, not only do you have an answer, but it's based in helping thousands and thousands of people. How many people are currently in the weight loss? Like,
oh gosh, we have around like 11 to 12,000 over there.
Yeah. And then thousands in the business too. You've got kind of
We only have 500 in the business.
Oh, 500.
We're still a tiny business.
I'm speaking that into next year or two years, whatever.
Manifest that for me,
John. Yeah. So for me though, I'm curious, I know a lot of your story because we've been able to do these. I've been on your podcast, you've been on mine. But the thing I like about what you share is there's depth to it. There's experience to it. There's, hey, here's what we did. You can always tell when you ask somebody a question and they haven't done it. They know what they think is the right answer, but there's, if you peel behind it, there's not a lot of depth to it. How did you come into that? Was it you did your own weight loss journey and did a lot of reps? Is it, how long have you been helping people with weight loss? Like how many?
I started back in 2007. That's when I officially opened the doors.
Yeah, so 16 years. We're looking at 16 years. And if you had to estimate numbers of hours you leaned into this per year, like, is it 1,000 hours? Is it 2,000 hours? Like
a ton. Like, well, let's say there's 24 hours in a day and I probably spend thinking about weight loss or coaching
or business,
or business 16 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like I sleep for eight. It's not that I'm working all the time, but this is my passion.
Yeah.
And it's always top of mind, you know.
I love that. And the reason I ask that is, one, to normalize for other people, like, wow, to get to certain levels, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of effort. But also, I bet a lot of this doesn't feel like work for you. I bet a lot of it feels like play. Is that fair?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my best friend this morning. We talk in an app called Marco Polo every day. And I was telling her that one of the things that's happening right now is I have all these different courses I'm trying to create. And plus I'm trying to become a better CEO. I'm trying to do all these things. And I'm just consuming content like crazy and getting ideas like crazy.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got to sit down and just put in like a strategic place, all these things, because now my brain, I always teach this concept that your brain is a, it's an amazing processor, but it's a stinker of a container.
Yeah.
And right now it's trying to hold all, like, don't forget we want to do this and don't forget this. And this would be a great podcast and this would be this. So it's a lot of play. Like it's exciting. You know, I love this phase of the, of my journey where I'm just trying to like make concepts easier and easier and easier to teach and to show someone how to do in their life.
When you say you're consuming a ton of content, what does that look like? Are you like, you're listening to audiobooks, you're listening to podcasts, you're interacting with people who have questions? Like, what does consuming content mean to you?
Well, I have two books on my desk right now that are next up.
One is Nice.
F the Slides, because it's all about, I'm real big into figuring out messaging right now. I'm taking a 2-day write your own book course in person next month. Unreasonable Hospital. So a lot of books. I listen to, when I go walking every day, I listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I listen to at least 2 podcasts every single day when I'm showering, putting, like, I wear my earbuds when I blow my hair dry, all that kind of stuff. I follow a lot of content on Instagram. I don't do so much on Facebook anymore. That's where I manage my groups, but I don't use Facebook for education. But on Instagram, I'm very careful about the feed that I give myself. Mm-hmm. And so I follow a lot of topics. Whatever I'm currently studying or consuming, I start following all of those topics because I love short bits of information.
Yeah.
Like I just thrive on that. But it's mainly reading books. I also belong to a couple of memberships, a few memberships that are around topics that I'm going to be teaching or diving into. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. But it's for me, if I'm having downtime, I'm probably consuming stuff.
Yeah.
I don't sit and write all the time, but I do feel like my brain works better the more information that gets put in. It's like you just never know when 2 pieces of random content are going to somehow meld together and spark a big idea.
Yeah, for me, the reason I asked that is right now I'm in that spot where like I did a TV thing today and I had to drive to Nashville and I listened to an audiobook on the way there and then I listened to an audiobook on the way back. And if I run, I have like 3 different things I listen to. And if I'm putting away the laundry or like if I sit down next to Jenny, instead of being on my phone, I'm going through Kindle and I'm playing and I'm like, I'm trying to feed myself all these ideas. Like, and it's old school stuff. It's like Lou Tice from the 1980s and like, you know, Brian Tracy, stuff I never did that are kind of foundational things that now I can go, oh, that dude is just riffing on this other person's idea that was from 1970, but nobody knows that. But here's the source. Oh, like, and that stuff fires me up. So that's why when you said you're consuming a bunch of content, I was like, I wonder if she's doing what I'm doing. And it sounds like you're doing exact like stacks of books, stacks of books.
And I think, I tell people this all the time, don't dismiss tiny moments in your life. Like before I came on here, I had like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I had just wrapped another podcast. I'm sitting here. I have a membership that I belong to. It's all life coaching stuff.
Yeah.
And I just hit play where I left off this morning. Just like, I'm just listening to it. I was like, I got 7 minutes. What am I going to accomplish in 7 minutes? Yeah. I can listen to this, clean out some email. And so I feel like I'm one of those people who gets, people are like, how do you, you're always quoting a podcast and stuff. It's because I don't waste time. I just don't.
Okay. So to that end, let's flip it. You don't waste time. What have you said no to? Because in order to progress, so this is you, it's 2007, you're starting to teach. You've said no to a lot of things in the last 16 years, whether it's personal, TV, whatever it is. What are some things that you're like, I either hired that out or I say no to it. It's not, because like for me, I'd say the other day, a friend emailed or texted me, was like, hey, I need the name of like 5 good shows you're enjoying. And I was like, oh, dude, I'm not watching 5 shows right now. Like I told him one show I could remember. And it's not because like I don't like TV. I like TV. I watch it sometimes. It's not, I'm not trying to demonize TV, but I just had to say like, it's not giving me anything. It doesn't hit my goals. And I don't like get to track the hours. Like I track my, Like, I track my hours of what I call wisdom time pretty aggressively to see if I can top last month, this month, because I want to get smarter and smarter and wiser and wiser. What have you said no to?
Well, one big thing that kind of, it was hard to say no to is I really actually do like food prepping. I like doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, I wanted to be able to work on Sundays because mm-hmm. that's when my members most can do calls. That was my Sunday food prep. And that's how I set myself up, my family up for success with food for the week. I hired that out. I was like, you know what? As much as I, much of a, like a thrill that I get from this, like it really made me feel like I was really championing my healthy lifestyle. Like there was so much big payoff to it. But I also was like, this is not growing my business.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody else can do this. So I took that off my plate. I say yes to TV at night. I say no to endless self-development. I pretty much get up at around 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
I start my day and my day ends around 4 or 5 at night. Mm-hmm. And then, so I cut it off. I have just found that I need to just like, I literally need some veg time at night.
Yeah.
And I also say no to going to bed late. You will not catch me up past 8:30. Like if I'm up past 8:30, something's wrong. I'm sick. Like it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
There's this year, I haven't said no to, I feel like I've said yes to a lot of things. I said no to a lot of vacations this year. We bought a restaurant this year.
Yeah.
Now I have 2 memberships, whereas as of 18 months ago, I had no restaurant, no second business.
Yeah.
This year we used to go to Vegas about every 3 weeks since COVID, like once mm-hmm. it reopened, we were going every 3 weeks all the way through the summer. That's what we did, you know, all the things. This year work was just really busy. Mm-hmm. And I just said no to traveling because it was too hard on me. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to get in some extra work as we're growing mm-hmm. things. And I didn't want the fatigue of travel. And especially, you know, Vegas is pretty, I mean, no matter what you do in Vegas, is just, you're up. And like, we don't even drink that much anymore, but mm-hmm. just gambling and being up and on a new time zone and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I had to say no to that. I've said no to some speaking things that I used mm-hmm. to say yes to. That's been really hard for the people pleaser in me.
Oh yeah.
To know that some audiences aren't big enough anymore and I have to really protect my time. That's been hard. But, you know, the more successful I think you want to be in life, you can't just work harder. You're going to run out of hours and you're going to run out of energy.
Yeah.
So it's old school, but you really do have to work smarter. You have to really make big decisions for yourself. You sometimes have to disappoint people. Sometimes you have mm-hmm. to say no to people. But in the end, it's better for everyone. And so like hanging on, like I say a lot of no's to short-term, like feel-good, pleasure-y things, mm-hmm. like being able to say yes to someone for long-term vision, you know, getting us where we want to be just as a business and as a person.
Now, so I'm curious about the shutting off thing because my wife and I had that conversation this morning. Because of the time change, like sleep is just all jacked up to me right now because it feels like midnight at 5:15 p.m. Yeah. And so like we've been going to bed earlier, which means I'm able to get up earlier, which I'm like, let's go. Like I like that.
That's me.
Yeah. And so she's like, she said this morning, it's funny you mentioned this. This morning she was like, hey, if we start getting up real early, you're going to have to shut the office down at like 3 or 4 because I see what you're doing. You're extending the day. Like, so where are you going to shut down? Because she knows I have a hard time naturally stopping. When did you come to a point where you're like, you know what, for long-term sustainable success, I need to turn myself off at X amount of time, or I need to prevent burnout, I need to do this. How did you come about that decision?
I really started, this may sound woo, because I am like, I mean, if anybody knows me, they know I'm not like exactly the woo person, but I wear an Oura ring, O-U-R-A. Mm-hmm. I really started paying attention to my energy patterns. And mm-hmm. I started noticing that anytime I'm working after about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm dragging myself through it. I'm mm-hmm. probably doing it because I think I should be working. And whenever I add those extra hours in, what I noticed is that I wasn't planning my day around like revenue generating activities. Like I was now like, you know, the more time I gave my business, the more I was really filling time, but I wasn't really moving my business along. Yeah. And so when I kind of tightened up my day, and you know, a tightened up day for me is starting at 5 a.m. and ending at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is not exactly a light day. But yeah, for me, who, you know, like my husband, he's my partner in business, partner in crime. He could work till bedtime. Like he never burns out. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like if I'm dragging myself through it, I don't ever want to be working where I feel like I'm dragging myself. Now, that doesn't mean that everything I do, I love and I'm just like, yeah, every minute. But I don't want that to be the habit and the routine. So I just paid attention to my energy patterns. And I was just like, I'm no good after four. Anything I'm working on after four, I'm half butting it. Like it's, I'm making myself do it. I'm not creative. So if I'm doing anything after four, it's literally like, just clean out your email. Just do something to prepare you for tomorrow. But I pretty much, you won't see me working much past that. And then I start winding down. He usually doesn't come down until around, we work from home, so he won't come down to around 5 or 5:30. So I usually have an hour, hour and a half to myself. And that's when I just, like, I use that time to just do things that, like, put away all my clothes. You know, like, I'm bad to just leave crap laying everywhere. Like, what in the morning, I'm in the hustle. That's when I kind of tidy back up, do those things. Yep. Sometimes I'll actually look at a book or something, but sometimes I just am like, let me find a baking show or something. Yeah. Is Bobby Flay putting the beat down on someone?
That's funny. No, the reason I asked is because I'm kind of figuring that out in my own business. And the Oura Ring is a tech device. Like if you've never used one, it's a tracking device. It's essentially like a fancier, smarter Fitbit to some degree. So if you've never seen one, she says woo woo. Like Oura Ring sounds like a mood ring. It's tech. But mine, and this will sound woo woo, I can tell when I need to stop writing. Like if I'll pay attention to my creativity, then I can be like, ooh, no, I'm at the end. And I could force it. It's just going to be terrible and I'm going to have to rewrite it tomorrow anyway. Yeah. And I won't have as much energy to like, I have a pretty good sense of when the writing is hit its limit and I can't do it anymore. So that's why I was interested from your perspective on how you do that. I know one of the things you talk about sometimes is this concept of lowering your standards and like dealing with perfectionism that way. Mm-hmm. Can you break that down for people? Because it's such an interesting way. And the way the quote that I saw from you was putting yourself out there on social media, even if it's janky. And I was like, oh, I gotta ask her about this. Tell us about perfectionism, lowering your standards, that kind of your approach to that.
So that kind of is born from my person that I work with the most, trying to get them, you know, birthed into that business world, the online business space. Mm-hmm. Really suffers from perfectionism and they're terrified of what other people will think. And I just try to tell people all the time, like, especially when you're first starting, you have got to be messy. That is the only way you're going to learn. If you are waiting for things to be right before you take action in business, you will never make any money. The only way to know if a sales page is going to work is to write a sales page to the best of your current ability. And I think that's what people don't understand a lot is your current ability is where you start. And then every iteration after that, your current ability is just going to keep rising with the more information you can glean. Mm-hmm. People want to go out and glean information from books. There's only so much in this world, in books, courses, and podcasts that are going to be able to teach you. After a certain time, you've got to just put some crap out there and get feedback from people. Like, I don't really understand what you're selling. I don't really understand what you're saying. Well, I'm still scared to join your program. Whatever those kinds of things are, will tell you, here's the messaging that I'm not good at right now. Mm-hmm. So I need to try another sentence. Maybe I should add this stuff in. I can't get people to move fast enough. And so when I say lower your standards, it's not we're lowering our standards to where we're being poor, but most people who are perfectionists, you need to be operating at about C-level work in the beginning to move faster so that you can develop what your A-plus work is. I've just, especially in business, and this happens in weight loss too, but in business, I've never seen anybody come to the table who's starting a business and they're going to somehow start with A plus level work.
Yeah.
It just never happens.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But we think we should, because everybody we see, we're seeing somebody who's done it for 10 years. The reason I loved that idea from you was that I think in my own life, where I've seen that kind of happen is when you've spent a lot of time in one part of your business or life or goal, whatever, and then you start a new part and you want the quality level to be the same as the one that took you 10 years. So for me, like, that's why I struggle with YouTube, because I've spent 10 years honing my public speaking career. Like, I've put so like thousands and thousands and thousands of hours into that, like on stage, the right joke, like the rhythm, like I've worked really hard at that. And then I go to YouTube and I feel like how I felt the first time I blogged. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, and the angle's all jacked up and the caption is wrong. And people are like, hey, your hashtags were backwards. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, whatever the thing is, it sucks to such a degree that I go, and then I feel the pressure of like, oh, you have a platform and you don't know how to do the thing. And so then I feel, so that was really interesting to me, that idea of like C plus work, C minus work.
And I think the other thing about that is that one of the things that I teach, especially on the business side, is that there are certain things in your business that require you to, bring your A game. There are lots of things in your business that never require your A game. They only require B. Yeah. And then there's another group of things that you have just got to push it out the door because you don't have the experience to even get above C level work right now. Like those earlier entrepreneurs, those first sales pages, prepare yourself. No one will like them and they will look awful, and you can don't spend a lot of money on them because you're, I always tell people, please don't hire somebody to build a web page first time you get out the gate. You're probably going to switch your niche. You are going to not know how to talk to people, and you're going to pay all this money for a web page when you could just put something janky out there at first.
Yeah.
Send a bunch of your friends and family over there for free to tell you what's wrong with it. Then we can go hire someone later.
So good. That's so good. I think this attitude happens because of statements like this. How you do anything is how you do everything. I hear people say that, and it's not true.
No.
Like how I do a speech is different than how I do terms and services on a web page. Like, I hire somebody for that. Or there's things I do because I have to do it and I get it out. I'll never forget. I worked at Home Depot in their advertising, and I had two projects. One was a postcard for a rug sale, and one was a 96-page catalog that was redefining like this big brand we had. And I was spending equal amounts of effort on them. And my manager was like, hey, no offense, I see you brainstorming multiple headlines for the rug postcard. The headline for that is buy one, get one free for our Memorial Day sale. Then it's done. Right. No one cares about the postcard. Get it out the door. This other thing deserves a plus. I think that part of maturing, not even as a business owner, because I think this applies to health. I think it applies to everything. You have to deliberately have the fortitude to accept a C minus and go, this deserves a C minus. And if I gave it an A plus, I'd take away from the thing that actually does need it. I think that's a really hard principle.
I understand. This is so funny you said that, because this literally just came up in my business the other day. So we have a funnel, which if your audience doesn't know what that means, is in my weight loss side, I say, hey, take my 3-part video series, you know, and that drops you into a funnel. So the opt-in page, my marketing team, like the conversion on it was awful. But when you went, it was just this long thing for this free thing, just long. Yeah. It was just confused, all this stuff. And I looked at them and I said, what are y'all even doing? And they said, we need all this. Like, it's never going to convert if we don't. And so my husband said, what if you just had a black box that said name, email address, get my free course? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, y'all test that. Black background, white text, nothing else on there, yellow button. And they were like, that is like going to look like 2005. And I was like, well, we're going back in time, y'all.
That's so great.
7% more people converted in 2 days with their page. And I said, y'all, we're going to strip everything down like this. But like I was telling them, we have to test a lot of stuff. So I need you to quit perfecting. Yeah. I need you to get me some stuff out there. Yeah. Let's look at it, make one change, let it run for a few days, make another change. And it has been like a game changer for them. Even in my size of a company, my team still gets caught up in wanting to A-plus way too many things.
I think that's because we were taught that. I think we were taught, again, how you do anything is how you do everything. And it's just not true. And when you run a business or when you know, there's things in your health journey that don't need that the same, you know, you don't need to put an A-plus effort into that thing either. I'm curious if you said, so like speaking of weight loss, say I'm in Vegas. Let's just workshop that. I'm in Vegas. I see you in an elevator. We're at whatever hotel. And I go, oh my gosh, I love following you online. I'm trying to get my weight loss goal together. Like this will go live in December. So people are in that zone. They're like, okay, I've got a weight loss goal. And they say, okay, we've only got an elevator ride. What are the three things you're encouraging them to do? Or what are the like, hey, here's what you need to think about. Now, obviously, there's a whole community. You've helped thousands, thousands, thousands of people. The challenge for me is always when we have you on, guys ask me, like, does she have one for dudes? Like, does she have a dude? And I was going to say, this is a focus. But what would you say to somebody in an elevator ride when it comes to a weight loss journey?
I would tell them, like, number one, that they do not have to have lost weight before in order to be doing it this time. I think that's like, before you even tell somebody how to lose weight, they have got to believe there's a possibility that they could lose weight. Yeah. So many, because I specialize in women, so many of them, they have just lost all hope. And their wall is so high on trying to guard themselves from that failure one more time. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do anything you tell them if they don't have like a minuscule like crack in the door of like, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Second thing I tell them is stop eating when you're not hungry. And like if I ask somebody, tell me today, what'd you eat? Were you actually hungry? 9 times out of 10, somebody will be like, I don't know. Like people don't even wait for hunger anymore. We're so used to eating by time. We're so used to eating because it's convenient. It's been offered to us. Yeah. It was free. Like there's 1,000 reasons to eat, and hunger, some reason, is not one of them anymore. And then here's the third magic bullet in your arsenal is, the moment you think you might be near and full is the moment you need to stop eating. We don't eat when we don't go until the plate's clean. We don't go because everybody else is getting seconds. We don't get our money's worth. We don't do that kind of eating anymore. This is the kind of eating we do. If I think I've had enough without feeling like my pants are going to explode, I need to stop. My body now knows the time is done. Now, emotionally, that's hard.
Yeah.
This is why people work with me. It's because like, well, that makes a ton of sense, but it's hard for me to stop. And it's like, that's where I come in.
Yeah.
I help you not make it hard to do those things, but that's really it. Like, if you just think like, all right, I don't have to have had past success. And every time I'm hungry, I should eat. And when I've had enough, I need to stop. 99% of the people are going to lose all the weight they ever need.
This is why I love talking to you, because the idea of when you say it that way, it's so obvious. So if somebody said to you, well, I can't lose weight because I've never lost it before, you'd go, right, this is the time. This is like, it's kind of like saying, I can't go to Italy because I've never been to Italy before. And you go, right. But you bought a ticket to Italy. Like, you're going to Italy. You would never go, my previous non-trips to Italy prevent my first trip to Italy. You'd go like, no,
Welcome
to Italy. Do you think, Corinne, that losing weight, staying in shape, goals in general have gotten harder in the last 10 years, 20 years, like from a culture perspective, from a marketing perspective, from a social media perspective? Has it gotten harder for us to stay faithful to our goals?
I will tell you just on the weight loss side, so a lot of my clients are in the 55 plus range. Yeah. The women, you know, after you get past 50, your give a AF is gone.
Yeah.
And so they really like that I'm just like, this is how we're doing it. And we're not going to like sugarcoat anything.
Yeah.
I think it's harder for us who are older. Like if you are about 45 or above, I feel like for us, it's harder because we have so much ingrained in us in terms of how we should look. We grew up during Twiggy we grew up during, my mom was just talking the other day about how we didn't, she was like, my generation didn't stand a chance. We were all supposed to look like Twiggy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, well, I was part of the 90s heroin chic movement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where we all need to be like, Kate Moss thin.
Kate Moss, yeah.
And glorifying heroin.
You need to be able to see a pelvic bone. Like, yes. If you can't see a pelvic bone, what are you even doing? Yeah.
During none of those years was an average body or a normalized body ever a thing. I think our people who are about 40 and below, I think the pressure for weight loss is actually the best it's ever been in terms of easing up, because there's a big cultural movement with our younger girls around prioritizing health. Mental health is a priority. Mm-hmm. All of us above 40, our mental health was a shameful thing. We don't talk about it. Like, that is the big thing that happens in my membership is women feel guilty for taking care of themselves. They feel bad
for their bodies,
all those things. So I think it just depends on which generation we're really talking about. But I will say this, in this day and age, it's never been easier to me than to lose weight. When we think about access to being able to eat better food, like when I would go on the road, if I had to go to a gas station, it was Coke and a candy bar.
Yeah.
I mean, you just didn't get, like, you couldn't get a hard-boiled egg. You couldn't get a banana at most gas stations 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, even gas stations have better options.
Protein bars. They have protein. They have an aisle of protein bars.
Yes. And then you've got, like, all your fast food restaurants. A lot of them now will, you know, tell you, like, how many calories. I don't promote calorie counting, but if I go to a restaurant and I see one thing is 2,000 calories and another one is 800, I know, like, okay, there's a lot of crap in that one. Probably should go with this one over here. Mm-hmm. So it's just, what I would love for your listeners to think about is, in this day and age, the process of weight loss, I think, is at an all-time ease. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people think about it that way. We have so much more advantages than we've ever had. Like, even like with Uber Eats, you want something healthy delivered to you, you don't even have to cook anymore. Yeah. You can just get it brought to your door. Mm-hmm. If you want to order prepared meals, almost everywhere in the country, you can get it now. Like, there's just, there's so much more availability. Yeah. If it's cost effective, I mean, for some people, no, it's still an economic burden to be able to eat healthier. But even on our processed foods, they have gotten even more healthier than they've ever been. And I know that's debatable, but if you look back at processed foods compared to 30 years ago versus now, you can get more affordable processed foods for people in lower economic situations than ever before. So I just think it's easier. I don't think that mentally it might not be easier. There's still so much diet hangover, trauma, and baggage left over. But that's where you have more programs like me coming on scene, where it's like, you know, the real problem is what all's going on between the 6 inches between our ears. When we uncover and we fix a lot of that self-esteem, self-worth, you know, just pressure that women put on themselves, the pressure to overeat is starting to go away when you fix that stuff.
Yeah, that's a really interesting answer, because I wasn't sure which angle you would go on that. Because I, you know, social media feels like it's harder, but you're right. When you look at 10 different factors, it's so much easier than it used to be. I want to switch gears for a second as we start to wrap up. You're a big proponent of coaching. Like, that's a word that's come up a couple times in this. And you're one of the top, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the top life coaches with, is it Brooke?
Castillo at the Life Coach School.
Right. How did you get
one?
There you go. How did you get involved in that? What is that for somebody, you know, because again, this will go in December. And so I think there's a lot of people making a lot of choices. There's a lot of hope. Hope is high in December. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be a stressful time for people too, but I think in December and January, I want to change my life. How did you get involved in her program, what she teaches? Tell us a little about that.
So she's got an amazing podcast called the Life Coach School. Mm-hmm. And she literally just released her 500th episode today.
Wow.
And I started listening at episode like 32.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So I found her as a podcast. My best friend had said, hey, there's this woman, and she is talking all kinds of things about like our thoughts and our feelings and how they like create like our realities and stuff. And like, I think you would love it. Started listening. Took me about 6 episodes to realize like, I want to learn how she does this. Because what I knew, that was in 2015. From 2007 to 2015, I was helping people lose weight. And I was motivating them and talking to them every day, but I didn't have a framework for how I actually changed. I knew I had changed on the inside to change my outside, but zero framework. Brooke had the framework. So I got certified. It was 8 days in person. And
that's a legit certification program. 8 days in person is like, because a lot of these are like, you get certified when you send your check and here's your sticker. Like that's legit.
Yeah. We did 8 days and we had to do a bunch of junk after that. And then their programs changed over the years, but it's still, you get a, like, you get excellent resources. You know, you've got to send in, like you have to actually coach people in front of them to, you know, it to get certified. Mm-hmm. But, for me, it was the only way I'm going to be able to really make a change in the weight loss industry is to really address what's actually going on, which is women have issues with their body. They have pressure more than they've ever had before. They don't know how to deal with their stress. They don't know how to take care of themselves. And then we have a very terrible relationship with food. We either use it as our only coping mechanism. Like we do not know how to care for ourselves in any way other than to eat. We don't know how to de-stress or decompress any way other than to eat. We don't know how to celebrate without food. We don't know how to have a good time without food. Like our whole life is like that. But then when it's time to diet, everything that we use to de-stress, celebrate, have joy, to take care of ourselves, diets take it all away.
And just remove the joy. Just remove the joy.
And then we're left an emotional mess. It's like, we know your life's a piece of crap. We're going to take every coping mechanism you have and leave you with a crappy life, but you'll be thin.
You'll be thin and unhappy. Congratulations.
Exactly. And that's like basically the diet industry's formula is they don't take into consideration you have a life and your life probably has a lot to do with why you eat the way you do. And so we work on that. So when I went to the life coach school, I learned a lot there. And then I just got to studying it more and more and more. And that's why I focus on the root cause of why we're eating. Mm-hmm. We fix the root cause, then the eating itself corrects.
Yeah.
All of it becomes easier.
It takes care of itself in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say like with her framework, what was the process like for you to adapt, to change? Because I know you have your own frame. It wasn't that she had a system and then you just said, okay, cool, that's the system I'll use.
Yeah.
How many years did that take for you to go, oh, this is a framework that helps people. I need to lean into this. Or, oh, this confuses people. We need to retire this. What's that been like?
Yeah. So now none of my frameworks match theirs. I have really kind of crafted my own stuff from just years of study. When I first came out, like I taught everybody like, well, then here's how our thoughts, our feelings and our actions work together. So it was very like rudimentary. Mm-hmm. And the four N's is very different than the way she teaches, but it's kind of based in the same thing. What I realized was you can tell people it's thoughts, feelings, actions all day long, but they judge their thoughts so much. We didn't really learn to teach them not to judge how they thought. That's why my normalized step came into play. Yeah. There's just all kinds of stuff. But she taught us like the basics of what it takes to help someone figure out their mind and make change. And then I went and studied hardcore on my members, on myself, reading books and stuff on how does this all work with weight loss. So then I just came up with my own techniques. I took a blend of like, I knew it was my thoughts and stuff, but I had to go back to old me and deconstruct like, what is it that I actually did? Because I had to figure that out to give my people a simple formula. And once I did that, it just, the magic just kind of started happening in terms of, and then plus, as you know, when you teach something over and over and over again, people ask you 1,000 questions. Yeah. So many of my frameworks that I teach now all came because I was either standing on stage and someone was confused. And I said, well, let me break this down one more time. And I would just keep making it simpler. Next thing you know, we have the four N's. And the next thing you know, we have this framework.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I've seen that same thing. And I love the idea of going back and interviewing the you who changed, because I've had to do that too. Like I had to realize that when, for me, goals, what changed was I discovered something I loved more than staying the same. And so it wasn't that I decided to get disciplined or decided to have grit, or I'm not any of those things. Those things don't feel natural to me. I just found something I loved more than staying the same. And that made me want to get up earlier, because then I got to do it more. Yeah. And so like I had to go, oh, so if I teach people, you just got to be more disciplined, you just got to, like, that's removing the thing that helped me. It's not going to help them. They're going to go, I tried to be disciplined, I just didn't feel that into it. I'm like, oh, that's right. Because you didn't have a thing you loved that encouraged you to do the thing you love more. That, and again, which brings us back to you saying, okay, I could do this 16 hours a day. Like, I love doing this. This is what I think about. This is what I care about. Okay, last two questions. And I always just ask this one. I don't do a ton of interviews anymore, but I always love having you on, and I always love asking this question. What are some books you'd recommend right now? Like, you're always reading a bunch, and if you need to get out your phone and scroll through the last few.
I was going to say, it'd be a lot easier for me. I never can remember titles. I swear to God, the older I get, the worse.
Oh, I'll go into my Kindle app, and I'll just pull some up. But are there books that have been helpful to you in your journey, books you've read recently that you're like, ooh, if you're looking for a new book in the new year, here's one I recommend. What
so
do you got?
I've been reading The Undoing Project by Michael Lewis. It's really good, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now. Yeah. There's a lot of historical context there, but it's really good. My husband actually also recommended it to me. He was reading it and was just fascinated by all of it. But it's like these psychologists. It's got a little business in it, but when you read the first half, it's just a lot of like this guy that was like, he survived Nazi camps and why he survived and stuff. It's just a super interesting book, and lots of people like it. I'm reading Traction again, because right now I just hired a project manager / events coordinator for our team that I love her to death. She was our event coordinator for years. And we finally just said, could you just quit your business and come work for us? Like, this is like, you would be great in our business. And I want her and I to work really close together. So we're both reading that again. Burnout by Emily Nagoski is another one that I just started reading. That's really good. I've got this one, Unreasonable Hospitality for a Business Owner. Like, I am fixing to start this. My husband was just like, you got to read it. And several people I know right now are reading it and loving it. So I would read that. Those are kind of the big books.
Those are great.
I read a lot of books that are, I'm also reading a couple of menopause books, but I can't recommend them just yet. One's by Dr. Anna Garrett, who's my personal menopause doctor, but I just started. She writes in very common sense. She like takes a complicated topic and she just makes sure that anybody can understand it. But I just started her book. But
how many books at a time do you have going at the same time?
Like, usually 10. Like, I'll have books everywhere in the house where I'm at. I just start reading. Sometimes I'm on my Kindle. Sometimes I'm like, it's a hard book. And then I'm listening to things. And if I get a little bored in a book, I'll just switch. And then I come back later. I never feel like I have to be like, I got to finish one at a time.
That is terrible advice. Whoever said you should only read one book at a time was a sucker. Like, it's terrible advice. I'm the same. People are sometimes like, you got a lot on your nightstand or a lot in your Kindle. I'm like, yeah. And because I'm on, like, at this exact moment, I'm on book 77 for the year. And people are like, well, how do you do it? I'm like, you can do it. Like, you can actually, if you're deliberate. Okay, last question. Where can people find out more about you? Again, this is going to go live in December. So I know you have fun stuff coming up probably for January. Like, maybe I'm listening to this right now. I'm a woman that goes, hey, whoa. She sounds really interesting. She sounds like she really cares about people and cares about the weight loss journey. Where can people find out more about you? Give us both the business thing and the weight loss thing.
So let me get out my piece of paper that my marketing team gave me.
There you
go. Because they're always like, you never remember our stuff anymore. I'm like, well, that's only because we have 1,000.
Yeah. We have a lot.
So if you, for weight loss, if you just go to nobsfreecourse.com, that will get you my free course. So if you're just like, hey, I would just like to kind of check
in.
Dip the toe. I cuss a lot. I don't cuss on John's podcast, but just know.
I know. She holds it together. We keep it TBS edited for television. That's how much she cares about our friendship.
That's right. So just nobsfreecourse.com. And then if you want to do the business side, you just go to nobswomen.com, or you can go to nobius.co/join. We are on wait list. We only open certain times of year, but we would love to have you on our wait list. It's when you go there, I send out a really good Wednesday wisdom. Like a lot of people don't always send out great newsletters.
Yeah.
I write all my own newsletters. I really toil and labor over the advice I'm going to give. Mm-hmm. No one's else writing it for me. ChatGPT is not writing it for me.
I can tell when it's ChatGPT, I think. It feels like it's just a bunch of the right nouns in an order. It sounds like how a robot thinks a human works. And I'm like, ugh, there's no personality.
I had a guy the other day send me some, I don't remember what he was doing, but it was like a software guy. Mm-hmm. You could tell that he was nervous about sending me an email to summarize something and that he had put it into ChatGPT. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can tell you had him write that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I know there's other things. There's ways it'll help us and change us and do all that. But I love that you write your newsletter. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, perfect. That was super easy. Corinne, thank you for joining me again. I can't wait to be on your podcast in the future.
Yeah.
You'll have an even bigger empire then probably. But everybody go check out Corinne. She's a good friend. She's a great business owner and she cares deeply, deeply, deeply about helping women get in shape and stay in shape. So Corinne, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with Corinne Crabtree today. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. The reviews you write are super encouraging. It's kind of isolating to do a podcast if you're a public speaker, because as a public speaker, I'm used to audience interaction, audience feedback in the moment. And you don't necessarily get that in a podcast, but you do when people like you are kind and write a review. So thank you so much for the reviews. Please follow, subscribe, whatever the kids are saying these days. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.